Congratulations to Mike the Wedding DJ, who emerges with the Iron Jock Prize as caller 225. I think I can safely say that is a record, much like Cal Ripken's, that will never be broken.
I can assure you, if Riley subs before the Iron Jock contest ends, that'll be broken.
I'm a little concerned that management might not be pleased with us.
We've learned nothing.
What didn't we learn?
Exactly.
Great comeback. Joining us again now, still wearing his Green Bay hat, he is our Bucks buddy. He is Justin Garcia. Justin, hello.
Apologies to Jesse. This was entirely on my end.
Uh-oh. What? Wow. Saboteur.
Everybody gets one, you know?
Saboteur. All right. Hey, you're the voice of reason. You're the calm in the storm. You've talked us off the ledge many times over the years. Have we finally reached the point where not even the great JG can completely talk us off this ledge when the agent is attaching his name to reports and things are burning up like that little dog in his kitchen with the "this is fine" meme?
So you guys did not have me on to discuss an 18-point comeback against the Pistons.
We'll get to that. I watched it. Okay. I listened to you on the post-game show, but no, not first.
Look, what I would say is you can't bury your head in the sand. And I've seen a lot of Bucks fans that have lashed out at the national media, and two names specifically. There is a lot of smoke billowing out here that when you get to that level in that network, you don't fabricate things. This could very easily be pushed back on if this was made up along the way. We haven't seen any of that. And I go back to when Giannis met with the media in training camp and what he said or did not say in that conversation that everybody took as, see, it's all made up by the media. I said this many times. I want to be in a situation that I can win. I believe in this team. I believe in my teammates. I'm here to lead this team to wherever we can go. It's definitely going to be hard. We're going to take it day by day, but I'm here. So all the extra stuff doesn't matter. And then the most interesting part is, you know, I wear the jersey. I'm locked in when I step foot here. Now in 6-7 months, if I change my mind, I think that's human too. That's what he said at the end of training camp. It hasn't been 6 months, but that to me leaves the door open. So to hear everything that's come out, I don't take this as this is just the media running with sensationalism reporting and this is clearly fake. I mean, even the stuff that Doc said yesterday, and he was very, very adamant and combative in his pregame press conference, and you could see the look on his face, too. He was worn down and tired by it and tired of having the conversation. But, you know, like Tausch specifically, what is a coach supposed to say in that spot? Mm-hmm. You know, like you are in danger of having this hang over the locker room, and it's going to hang over the locker room for however long until this resolves itself. But what is Doc Rivers supposed to say in that setting? Is he supposed to come out and say, yeah, you know what? We don't know. Like, I think there's some truth to this. We might actually trade him. Like, no, you have to put on the brave face and just say, guys, don't worry about it. It's out of your control. We are focused on what happens on the court. We have not had these discussions. Let's move on. So that's how I take all of not only yesterday, but what we've seen not only this past offseason, the past few off seasons here.
No, I totally agree with you. I don't have any problem with Doc doing that. That doesn't mean I believe everything Doc said. Because Giannis, see, here's the thing. He said Giannis hasn't said anything. Doesn't mean his representation hasn't went up and said something. And so there is smoke, there is fire. And I think the thing from Bucks fan standpoint, we're worn out because there is the vibe that the national media has been pushing for 4 or 5 years to get Giannis out of Milwaukee. And Giannis, to his credit, has fended off, and it hasn't happened, and it's been a lot of BS. This doesn't feel BS-y to me. This feels like this. It just feels different. Is that accurate, JG?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's a lot of things, too. It's the state of the conference. It's the state of your current team. And, you know, if you're Giannis, you look at the group and the era of Bucks basketball that you established as a perennial title contender and won a championship in 2021. You know, guys have fallen by the wayside. Injuries, age, a big piece of that. But Jrue Holiday's gone. Damian Lillard for 2 years. And that it was a failed experiment. That's gone. Chris Middleton is gone. Brooke Lopez is gone. Like, all of these guys that you went to war with and that you built this culture with. Bobby Portis and Thanasis are the only holdovers here. And Bobby's the only one that's been here continuously. That you see how much the league has changed. You see there's new teammates. It's like any other one of us that step into a job where all of a sudden all your coworkers are leaving and there's this new company that's hiring people and they're going to be paying more too. Like, maybe I should check out what that's like. Like, that's kind of what we're looking at here. And it's not to say that Giannis has already decided I'm done, I'm moving on, and I want to be traded. But I think there is very clearly, he himself said there is temptations and flirtations that everybody analyzes and looks at and considers every single offseason as soon as the season comes to an end. But then once the season starts and you're in your place, then you commit to that. So I do genuinely take him at his word when he says things like that. But I think we also have to recognize that, you know, that era of Bucks basketball has ended, that you are now trying to move into a new era and you're trying to try to figure out, how do we fit this around Giannis? And is there a way we can do a soft retool, getting younger and changing those pieces around him? I still think they put together a good plan, but, you know, this ultimately, the bigger story in all of this, if this does ultimately end here where we were to see Giannis playing for a different team, injuries, like that's the word that is going to write all of this. And Giannis isn't immune to that either. As you know, we saw two of those failed playoff runs, early exits. Giannis went down with injury in that. Right now, yes, Giannis is dealing with injury at a very, very crucial time in the season. The Chris Middleton injury in the playoffs and how much that really changed things for the trajectory of this team. Dame going down. Like, injuries happen. Every team deals with them, especially when you look at the playoffs a season ago. But it really does feel like, you know, I don't know if we made a deal with a higher power or something here to win that title in 2021, but it doesn't feel like anything has gone our way since then. If something can go wrong, it has, and it has been dire.
Well said by our Bucks buddy, Justin Garcia. All right, so what Tausch had a question earlier, and I don't want to mischaracterize it. Tausch, you said you either trade Giannis and get a haul for him, or you get him for the next 2 years and then he leaves when he can opt out. Was that the premise of your statement?
In essence, yeah. I was asking what Bucks fans would want. Take the haul now, you get a monster haul, or you get another year and a half with Giannis. And JG, I'm not even going to put you in this spot. I know, I get it. But the Bucks ain't winning a championship with this roster. Healthy Giannis or not, they're not. Unless you think I'm crazy. So you get the 2 years. You have another 2 years with Giannis, which would be great. You get great moments. But there is going to be life after Giannis. And if you end up just letting him go, and I know there'd be, you know, sign and trades and all those things, but not the haul that you could potentially get if you do move him now. That's really what this comes down to, doesn't it, JG?
Yeah, and I mean, sign and trades become even more complicated with every passing year in the CBA because of what it does to the team that acquires a player. It hard caps you, not to bore everyone, but there's a first apron, a second apron. You're hard capped when you acquire a player in a sign and trade. And if that player is Giannis, that's going to be earning more than $60 million. That puts you really, really up against that cap figure that you're capped at, having to round out the rest of your roster, especially if there's other $30 to $40 million players on that team. So I don't really see that as a viable scenario. You know, I think the interesting thing, too, is I think ordinarily, if you removed Giannis from this scenario and just said team construction, how would you build this team? How would you pivot and move forward? Anybody would say, you got to get assets. If you know somebody is going to be leaving, you don't just let them walk out the door and get nothing in return. So there's that. And I mean, what Giannis or any player, to be clear, in that scenario would want as well, because of the cap figures here, in that the Bucks, part of this CBA, your team can pay you more than any other team. So if you leave in free agency, you are leaving money on the table, significant dollar figures that you are leaving on the table. Sure, you can make it up in endorsements and other things, but what have we seen from Giannis to suggest, you know what, I'm cool with just punting some money here with my upbringing and how much I want to build that nest egg for my family and everybody else afterwards. So I don't really see any superstar doing that in the future here, that I think everything is going to be a, this is where I would like to go. If you can't get me there, here's another list, kind of like what we've seen with Dame and a handful of other players. I would like to go to Miami. That's my number one destination. We can't get you there. Is Milwaukee good enough? Okay, fine. Let's give that a try. Like, I think that is the new free agency in this league.
So, JG, here's the problem I have with that, because I think Tausch is exactly right. I don't disagree with him. I did say that how often, and you know NBA history better than anyone, so let me ask you this. How often does an organization, we just had Waddle on and we were making jokes about the post-Jordan era and the greatness of Pete Myers, who played 377 career games in the National Basketball Association, in case you were wondering. How often do you trade away a transcendent player and then you're still good? Or you become good again in a reasonable amount of time, right? I don't know. How long did it take the Bucks after they traded Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? What other? I don't even know what examples there would be, because usually when you have players in history of this greatness, they just end up spending their entire career. Larry Bird didn't get traded. Magic didn't get traded. Jordan didn't get traded. So
LeBron didn't get traded.
Right. I mean, he decided to go a bunch of, took his talents to a variety of places. But does that not concern you? Because I don't know how many examples there are of trading away a great player and then finding
Oklahoma
success
City
shortly
traded
thereafter.
Paul George away, and that's worked out pretty well for them.
Yeah, but I mean, Paul George is a good player. The player they got in exchange for Paul George is bordering on a transcendent player.
Yeah, it's a good trade. If we're going to trade, JG, that's what I'm looking for. Something like Oklahoma City.
Yes, I would love to get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander entering his prime as well.
Just say what I want. I mean, that's all. Let's say we're going to get it.
Great insight.
Here's the complicated dance, too, is that, and I tried to make this point last night. I mean, obviously, I am biased. I don't want to see Giannis leave because of what it means for the team that I am a part of, what it means for me financially and things that I do here as well. I know fans could not care less about this. And quite frankly, does it impact you as much? No. But it isn't just a basketball decision. And I think that's a big part of why the Bucks have no appetite to trade Giannis. It is going to take Giannis saying, it's not happening here anymore. Like, it's time for us to explore some other avenues, which may or may not have already happened. They don't have the appetite for it because, number one, he's really good, as we just outlined. But, you know, we are all old enough to remember, and I get the league is in a much different place now where teams in smaller markets can compete. But we remember what it was like prior to Giannis. You had the 80s where the Bucks were really good and probably the best team to never play for a championship for a decade. But then after that, it was really lean. Through the 90s, you had that blip on the radar, the 2001 season, and then a lot of disappointment afterwards and mediocrity. You were basketball Siberia. Nobody is racing to sign up for that again, number one. But the economic impact that he brings to your organization and to your community is another thing where you think about international sales and dollars that are coming in and TV rights and what you get there with your local TV contracts, jersey sales, tourism, all of it that's built up outside of the arena. He's not entirely responsible for it, but if anyone is majorly responsible for it, it is him. So this is very much a business decision, too, to say, look, we're not in a rush to all of a sudden go into the unknown and say we're going to sell people on that. And look, we're getting younger. We're getting more talent. We think we can be competitive, but we no longer have the best player in the conference and arguably the best player in the league. And that's going to zap a lot of interest in your product.
Yeah, but if he doesn't want to be here, that's what this comes down to, right? Like, the Bucks aren't going to do
anything. Ultimately, what it comes
down
to is he will decide.
Yeah.
Well, so wait a minute now. So then that is exactly the question I wanted to ask. So thank you for setting me up. How on earth do you give him what he wants if he gets to that point, which he may or may not be at now, whatever the case is? How do you make that happen for him if that's what he wants, and do right by your organization and not give him away for pennies on the dollar in terms of trade value? Because, hey, it's great he wants to go to the Knicks. You outlined for me, so I wouldn't sound like an idiot yesterday, the Knicks scenario, what they've got with Karl Anthony Towns and their first-round pick situations. Like,
no,
you
thanks.
Want a ton of
no,
first-round picks.
Yeah,
and
I mean, that's
they don't
be...
have them. So if he wants to be a Knick, no. Good for you. But how do you feel about going somewhere else? Kind of like you mentioned with Dame. How do the Bucks give him what he wants if that's what it comes to, and do right by the organization, which is just as, if not more, important?
Yeah, I mean, that would be it. Is basically the Damian Lillard situation where. What else do you like? Let's expand the list a little more to maybe five teams. And who are you looking at there? Because since the Knicks have come up quite a bit, and you know, to be clear, that's been there for a while, right? I mean, everybody is, it's not, again, what gets tiresome for me is this is not a forced narrative from Adam Silver in the league to let's get Giannis to a big market. And even some of the things that we've seen statistically this year of the league is just in for the Bucks and they want him out. Like, no, these numbers in where they are losing games are pretty simple to understand. They are losing the possession battle. And the reason they're doing that is not because the officials have it in for the Bucks and they're not calling fouls for them and they're calling fouls against them. They are a small team. They are a perimeter-based team that shoots threes. Giannis is your only guy that can consistently get to the free throw line and generate those looks. It also happens he is not a good free throw shooter. So the guy that's getting there at a high volume is shooting less than 70%. You are typically going to lose a lot of the free throw battles when that's the case. But if you're just going to rely on drive and kick, catch and shoot threes, you're not initiating contact. You're not getting into the space where you have to be the aggressor and make the official blow the whistle. Giannis will do that. You don't have other guys on the roster that are consistently going to do that. So you're not going to generate looks. And they're undersized. So you have 6'4" guys defending on the perimeter where other teams are doing that to you. Doc Rivers himself has said, we are committing fouls. So, like, this isn't a conspiracy. It's the way that the roster is built here. But how it works is, you know, the Knicks, for example, and what I was starting to say is that did come out over the summer. That there was this conversation that took place, and I believe it was Ian Begley who was the first to report it on Zach Lowe's show, and nobody seemed to pay attention because it was just, well, this is the media trying to get Giannis out of Milwaukee and this is fake. But this has been out there since August or September. The Knicks don't have the assets to do it. And, you know, if you're the Knicks, you probably look back and say, man, we probably should have waited on really jumping the gun Mikhail Bridges and or Karl Anthony Towns, because we'd have more to work with right now. But what they currently have is their own first-round pick this summer, which is going to be bad, right? The Knicks are at least going to be a top-three seed in the Eastern Conference, so that's going to be a mid to late 20s first-round pick. If you're the Bucks, like, that's a non-starter. We've had enough of those over the years. Not to say you can't find talent there. It's not the type of talent that we're looking for. The Knicks potentially have the Wizards' first-round pick this year. So that's the only way they could trade their first-round pick, is if they get the Wizards' pick. And the only way they get that is if the Wizards finish outside of the top eight, which at this point is incredibly unlikely for that to
happen. The Bucks tried to help them.
Right. They're 2027
pick. That's why we lost that game.
is gone. Their 2029 pick is gone. Their 2031 pick is gone. They can't trade their 2028 pick because of the other picks sandwiched around it and the thing they call the Stepien rule. Plus, it's pick swapped to Brooklyn anyway. So you got to get very creative of you give us this and we'll give you that with draft capital. And the Bucks don't have that to do. So the only avenue for the Knicks to become a player here would be for them to look at selling off parts that the Bucks are, quite frankly, if you're trading Giannis, you're looking into let's get younger assets and let's build for the future. Karl Anthony Towns doesn't help you there. OG Anunoby at this point doesn't help you there. Mikal Bridges doesn't help you. So the Knicks' only avenue is we got to look into trading those players, getting assets, sending them to the Bucks, or making this a three-team deal where the Bucks get assets, we get the guy we want, and we send these guys to a third team here. But with those types of contracts, and again, the Knicks are a first-apron team, so they can't take back more money than they're sending out. It's not impossible. It's incredibly difficult to do those things in the middle of the season. So any deal like that is always going to be an off-season move.
All right, JG, last thing so we can let you go. That was a remarkable win last night. Ryan Rollins, Dairy Bird, which is catchy. I'm curious what it was like for you as you watched it unfold with this cloud of, oh, by the way, not only was there a whole national and local narrative about Giannis's future, but then he departs 6 minutes into the game with a right calf strain that will reportedly sideline him for 2 to 4 weeks. What a surreal day and night that must have been for you.
Well, and so, yes, it was very strange. There was just this feeling in the air, and it was funny. I saw so many different TV anchors and other members of the media showing up to the arena yesterday for some reason. Like, oh, is this the playoffs? I haven't seen you in a while. But yeah, there was a weird feeling in there, and everybody could sense it. It was palpable. In talking with other members of the media, you just felt like, I feel like I've felt this before. I don't really want to say when I felt it and can't quite put my finger on it. And then to see him go down in shades of a couple of things. Number one, his soleus strain from 2 years ago, because it was basically the exact same spot on the floor where it happened. And then just his initial reaction and immediately going down, not getting up and kind of grinning as if he acknowledged, like, I know this isn't good, reminded you of Damian Lillard in a similar spot on the floor last year. So it started as low as you could get with all the chatter that was going on outside of the building, the start to the game and to fall down by 18 points. But then to see this young group, and again, I still think this team has good players, and I get the conceptualized version of this roster and how it fits. But ultimately, we're just seeing injuries are another factor. And just like last year, you dug yourself a hole where you go back to that 2-8 start. If you played 6-4, which is the rate the Bucks played at for the rest of the year, they're a 3 seed last year instead of the 6 seed. This year, I felt like even with Giannis healthy, after that start, they went 5-12 after that start of 4-1. They have not had a stretch like that since the 2014 season when they won 15 total games.
Ugh.
It just felt like, man, this is something you're going to look back on and say, if it weren't for that, we wouldn't be a play-in tournament team. And now, obviously, the Giannis injury changes all of it even more. It's going to mean he's ineligible for any individual honors this year for the first time in his career, because he's going to miss the 17 games that it's going to require. But you know, the last thing on it is, even if there is nothing comes of the trade chat or anything else and there's no resolution, there's one silver lining of sorts, and I even hesitate to say that because you don't want to tell players this is the case. They want to compete. But the Bucks do have a first-round pick this summer. It's pick-swapped with the New Orleans Pelicans. I don't know if you guys have noticed, the Pelicans are extremely bad, and they just announced Zion Williamson is going to be out for 3 weeks as well. So as long as you're kind of tied to where New Orleans is, you're going to get a really good first round pick. That it's not like you don't have an asset. And honestly, this is an extremely hyped and valued first round this upcoming year with a lot of talent.
Gap year. gap year.
And it, I mean, we scoffed at the notion. This is not the way you envisioned it. But that also may be the shot in the arm of talent that you need.
If you get the right player. JG, you're the best. We appreciate you. Thanks so much.
See you guys.
That is the great Justin Garcia. You can hear him on the Bucks Radio Network.
So we're tanking to get that pick to bring Giannis back again next year. That's, yeah?
That's kind of what it sounded like
to
me.
That's option C? Is that option C?
Count me in.